Happy Wednesday! Believe it or not, boy, time is moving so fast. Wow, today is December 7th. Believe it or not, 18 more days before Christmas and 24 days before Happy New Year 2023. I'm not trying to rush you or anything like that. I'm just letting you know that time is not waiting on anyone. So if you have not finish your Christmas shopping or made your New Year's resolutions or even got out that, I was going to say, sexy New Year's Eve dress that you're going to wear out, you still have time. Ladies, get busy in those sharp high heels. Just get busy and get ready for the New Year. Okay, you're listening to Linda Sims here live on WGH Talk. And I'd like to let you know we do stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com, or you can download free app called TuneIn on any electronic device, cell phone, iPhones, laptops, or computers, or whatever electronic gadget you may have that you can download apps on. And you may be even able to do this on your TV, I don't know, but you can check to see. Okay, but this app is free, and search WWGH or call in during a live broadcast like today. Hopefully we will have some interesting subjects for you. My first guest is Jeff Porter. Those of you know, he's been around for years. And for the first hour and the second hour, Annette Johnson will be my guest today. We will be talking about suicide, unfortunately, but this seems to be the peak time of the year for that. So we will discuss that with her later. Now, like I said, if you want to call in, ask questions, or be a part of the conversation, whether from 10:15 to 11 or from 11:15 to 12 noon, that telephone number is 740-383-9944. Let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, 1325 North Main Street of Marion, Ohio. Phone there is 740-382-8552. We also have Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson of 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. Phone there is 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. Ongoing announcement, which is the last one for this year. And of course, I know you're saying, well, Linda, this is December, so this is the last month of the year. Yes, but this will take place December the 12th. And it will begin at 12 noon until 2 p.m., but that will be the last one until April of 2023. So please mark your calendars, okay? Last but not least, Inspect Ohio LLC, your one-call home inspection company with 30 years of experience working for you. Owner, Cheryl Lee, location, LaRue, Ohio, phone 740-262-0939. And thank you for those of you who faithfully listen to A Voice of a People. Thank you for your support. Thank you for spending your precious time to listen to us. You know, we really appreciate you. And if it's your first time, I pray it will not be your last time. Now I will turn my attention to my guest of this hour, Jeff Porter.
Hello.
Hi, Jeff. He is the author of Expressions of the Last Days. How you doing, Jeff?
Oh, I'm just wonderful.
So good to see you. You're looking all chipper this morning.
I'm glad I looked that way. You were saying that time goes so fast in the morning when you're trying to get ready.
Oh, my.
It seems like every time you glance at the clock, another 15 minutes went by.
I know.
And you're like, I'm never going to make it here.
Oh, my gosh. I slid in on a dime, didn't I?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. But praise God, we made it safely.
Yes.
That's what's
it's
important.
It's pretty nice and warm out there compared to the way it has been.
So does that mean no snow for Christmas?
I don't know. I don't worry about snow. I hope there isn't any. My driveway, when it snows real bad, my driveway gets totally drifted. And that... just constant problem when it does that. But Anyways,
work, right?
Can't get out.
Hmm.
Yeah, you know, I can't shovel.
Right.
So I have to find somebody that can shovel for me.
Right.
Anyways, I thought I'd talk about grace today.
Yes, absolutely.
And we have to first have a definition of grace.
What is grace?
Grace means that God shows us love, compassion, mercy, especially forgiveness, even though we don't deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
And he does that through the cross. We can't earn grace. That is the whole crux of the problem, is that the world is taught that you earn everything. You
right.
work hard. You pull yourself up by your bootstraps. But grace is just the opposite. You don't work for it. The only thing you can do is believe.
Right.
You know, so Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, for it is by grace ye are saved, and by faith, and not by works. It is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. That's quite a statement.
But, it is.
Okay, now, most all Christians, you know, true Christians will agree with that. You know, we can't earn our salvation. We mm-hmm. have to believe. We have to put our faith there and believe that Jesus' death on the cross wiped out all of our sins. And he went through all that the pain and agony in order to erase our past. You know, so that we can enter into the kingdom of God with no doubts whatsoever. We could die without any doubts. You know. But there's been a problem in the church the last, 10 years or so, or more probably. There are, and I'm sure you've known people like this. They run around, they get involved in the church, they get a membership and everything. Then they run around and they constantly doing things, you know.
Like what kind of things?
Heading up programs, giving to the poor, shoveling the sidewalk, everything. And, you know, you begin to wonder now. I can't point my finger at somebody and say that person's doing this, but people get this idea that that's the how you please God,
mm-hmm.
you know, is by doing good works, doing things all the time. Well, you might please the pastor, but God's not going to give you a lot of extra credit unless you are called to do that.
So when you say they come to the church and they get a membership, you're saying they have not really surrendered their life to Christ?
No, no. But that's not necessarily that. It's just that, you know, they consider something like a membership with the church as totally essential to pleasing God, you know. And see, Jesus said, you know, when somebody came to him and said, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out devils in thy name? Have we not done many miracles in thy name? And Jesus said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity.
Mm-hmm.
I never knew you. Well, what in the world would he mean by that? Well, let's say that, you know, you're sitting out in your backyard and you're reading a newspaper, and all of a sudden God, the Holy Spirit, descends on you and he says, when I get ready to send you, I want you to go to Egypt and go to Cairo and start preaching the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
There, you know. You say, okay. But it's a while before he comes back and says, okay, let's go. And so this person maybe becomes discouraged, or this person becomes distracted and goes out and builds a homeless shelter.
Mm-hmm.
Well, is that what God asked you to do? No. That is not what God said to do.
Right.
God said, you know, I want you to go to Egypt and preach, and not before, and not, you know, don't be jumping ahead of me, don't be jumping after me.
Do it
exactly what I say. And that has been a big problem with the church these days, is people, they get impatient. You got to wait till God says to do something.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And then when you do what he says to do, that's when you get credits for it, you know, on the day of judgment. It says, here's some more rewards, you know, for doing that. I personally, if I do something for the Lord that He asked me to do, I don't worry about rewards. I just do it, you know. Mm-hmm. I know someday, because He's a just God, He'll pay me back for that, you know.
Right.
But that has been the big problem. Now, I remember this story, and I probably should have looked it up, but David, the prophet Samuel told David that he was going to be king of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And afterwards, and this almost always happens, he goes into his wilderness experience, whereas God hasn't put him there yet. But King Saul decides that, you know, he's going to dethrone David before he gets there because he's jealous. And so one day, and David ends up running around with the Philistines, you know, and trying to protect himself because Saul's trying to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
And so David goes into a cave and is going to relieve himself, and in comes Saul. Saul didn't know he was there. David could have very easily chopped his head off.
Right, killed him, yes.
Yeah, could have took out his sword, I imagine that, you know, whack. Now, that would have been a very quick, very surprising death, you know. He never would have known what hit him.
No.
But David said that he didn't feel like God wanted him to do that. Now, by all logic of the world, you know, the world, the people that were in favor of David, they would have said, why didn't you kill him?
Right, he deserved it. And you know, some of his men said that.
Yeah.
He was right in your hands. Why
yeah.
did you not?
I know. And if I was one of his men, I probably would have said the same thing. Man, God, kill that no good. You know, he's been trying to kill you all this time.
Right.
It's about time you got an easy revenge on him, you know.
Right.
But David said, no, I don't feel like God wanted me to do that. He wanted to wait till later time for some reason. And so
he says, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. He, I think that's the scripture he used.
Yes.
He was the anointed of God, and he didn't feel like he should take his life. He left that up to the Lord.
I don't think God would have taken a big revenge on David if he had done that. You know, I don't know. I'm just imagining that, you know.
But he respected him and
yes.
his position in the Lord, whether he was doing right or wrong or trying
right.
to kill him or not.
Exactly.
You know.
So, I said a long time ago, and probably should keep my big mouth shut, but a long time ago, when my mom was still alive, I was out on the porch. I had fixed up my audio Bible so that I could listen to it on the cordless headphones out on the porch. I was listening to the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget what scripture God used. He used something out of Genesis, I believe, and spoke to my heart and said, and I wasn't even thinking about it, he said, I'm going to bring the right woman into your life.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay, fine. He said, I want you to go to church tonight. So, I shouldn't have done it, but I left Mom alone at the house. She should be watched after all the time, but that would only have been an hour or so, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I went there, and the assistant pastor, Steve, was talking about marriage. He's talking about, you know, it's good to have a godly wife.
Right.
So I have had many opportunities over time here that I could have just got hooked up, got a girlfriend, and ran around with her for a while and then got married. I could have done that. But I said, you know what, no. Now, I don't think God would punish me big time and drop me into the lake of fire or something, you know. Cause my whole life to go down the drain or something. I might have had big, big problems in my marriage that I wouldn't have had if I'd have listened to God. But
so you don't think you ever ran across the right woman?
Not yet. No. And it's taking a long time, as God usually does. You know?
Yes, He can take a long time.
Yeah.
So how long ago was that? Do you remember the year?
No. It wasn't too awfully long ago. It was maybe, I was out on the enclosed porch of my house, so it probably was 3 or 4 years ago, maybe longer.
Okay.
And so I had a friend come visit me one day, and he said, I know that so-and-so likes you, you know. And I remember seeing her, you know, when you come in the door, people greet you. She used to do that once in a while, you know. And he said, would you be interested in her? Well, I knew that God hadn't spoken to my heart or nothing about that. And I said, I'm afraid I'm going to have to pass on that. And she is good looking, too, you know. And I said, I told him why. I said, because God said, wait till he shows me, you know. And he said, what do you constitute God showing you?
Right. That could have been the one. Oh, my.
Nope, I know his voice.
Okay.
You know, so I have confidence in being able to recognize a move of God.
Right. Boy, how are you today?
Are you on?
George? Yes, I am on. Yes.
I've called about 5 times. Nobody answered. You're not answering the phone.
I didn't even see it or hear it.
Well,
I'm sorry. Hear? No, I did not. My phone or this phone?
No.
The radio.
WWGH phone.
Okay. No, I did
now,
not see it.
I called a couple times.
Okay.
I told you, I'm at noon, I'm at the judges.
Right.
The judges.
Right.
The reason I stopped, I have a... Scott isn't here, right?
No, but he'll be in Friday, I think. And maybe before then.
Okay.
Is that a gift for him?
No, it's for Buckeye Guy.
Okay.
But here's the thing. I can't let this get lost or somebody take it. Let me give it to you.
Okay.
You give it... Will you see Scott?
Yes, I'll see him Friday. All righty, then.
It's on there. It says Buckeye Guy.
All right. I'll make sure of that, yes.
You were here the other day when we were on the air.
Yeah, I missed him, though, Buckeye Guy. He had already left.
Oh, yeah, because he had to leave to go back to Columbus. He was here from 8:30 to 9:30.
Right.
And we had a great time. Linda, I wish I could be on the air with you because I've got so many stories to tell you.
I bet you do, but you will, Lord bless and say the same. You will, after you come back from your vacation.
We're leaving tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock on our way to Orlando.
Okay. Pray you have a safe trip.
Thank you.
You're so welcome.
Linda, it's a pleasure to see you. Good morning.
Hello.
And thank you.
Thank you. This is Jeff Porter.
Glad to
and this
you.
Is
what a pleasure,
George Kasotis. Yes.
Are you a judge?
No.
George.
I'm a restaurateur. I'm a caterer. I feed the judges.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I'm the judges, all of them.
I'll pretend to be a judge.
Oh, you pretend?
Yeah.
Well, I was in the restaurant business downtown Marion for almost 70 years, between 65 and 70.
Oh, my.
Is that Turoff's?
No, across the street from Turoff's. George Turoff was a restaurateur, and he was Greek. And I am Greek, and we were...
He had good food.
I was here before George was. George didn't come until
1959. Okay. Jeez.
George Turoff was a legend in Marion.
Yes, he was.
Do you remember Turoff's restaurant?
Yes, I do.
Oh, Turoff's was great.
Wow.
Here I am talking to you on the air.
Yes, I am on air, and I don't know if they can hear you, but I know they can hear me, so...
What I was trying to say was... Is that...
Goodbye. You have... Be safe.
We'll see you again sometime, sir.
All right.
See you when I get back.
All right.
Make sure Scott gets that.
I will do that. I will let him know today that it's here.
That's important.
I will do that. Okay. God bless.
God bless.
George Kasotis. All right.
I've heard of him.
Yes.
And tell him I can't be here for the... Fruitcake time.
Right, okay, all right. Wow, he's 90 years old.
Oh, is he?
Yes, he is.
Heck of a nice guy.
Real nice.
What I'm trying to say is that the world around you can say, well, you not going to go out with that beautiful woman? And I have to say, It wouldn't do me any good to
Let
go
me ask
out
you
with somebody.
This. Did you wait? Did you think God was going to say, like, there she is right there? Were you waiting on that?
God, you've already spoken to you. You've been a Christian for a long time.
Yes,
right?
I have.
So have I. And I know when God moves.
Okay.
And I know when he speaks. And he wasn't speaking during that time.
Okay.
So I have to say the same thing that David said. I'm sorry, but, you know, I have to wait on God.
Okay.
You know, but to the world it looked, what are you doing? You should have killed him, you know.
Yeah. Yeah,
and by all logical assumptions and understandings, you should have took out your sword and cut his head off while you had the chance there, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
And sometimes those decisions are very difficult.
They're very difficult.
You know, so I want to get back to grace because, yes, even though we have grace, unmerited favor, we did not earn God's forgiveness. We did not earn his love. He didn't want us earning his love because, let's say that somebody does intellectual debates in colleges and fights for the gospel in that way, and he's a very intellectual person. Well, if God give favor for that, then only intellectuals could make it, you know, to heaven. So he made a way for all of us to make it through grace, you know. That is a place where Jesus said, where was that? Where Jesus said, if you look at a woman and lust after her, you've committed adultery in your heart already. That was what Matthew...
I didn't write it down for you. I wrote it down somewhere. Let me see.
That's all right. It's
Matthew.
There.
Matthew. It was 7, I think. It was early in the book of Matthew. I know I wrote it down, Jeff.
I saw you
write
it down.
Yeah. 5.
Matthew,
28.
Matthew 5.
28.
28. Jesus is talking to the scribes and Pharisees.
Mm-hmm.
And see, you got to take into account who he's talking to and when he's talking to that person.
Right.
Now, most people think that if I look at a woman going down the street, she's wearing short shorts or a short skirt or something, and my tongue's hanging out and I'm sweating, then I've committed adultery. Well, that may be true, but what is the point of what Jesus was saying? You got to think about it for a second.
Okay.
He's telling the scribes and the Pharisees who he's talking to is that you can't resist looking at a beautiful woman like that. And so you're lusting after her, you've committed adultery in your heart already. You need the grace and the love of God in order to get forgiveness for that.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible also says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin.
Right.
Whoa, wait a minute. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin.
Right.
So you know we sin every day. So we have to have the grace of God through the cross in order to get forgiveness for those sins. You see?
Yes.
We can't conjure up, you know. So the scribes and the Pharisees are still arguing, you know, and Paul talked about this forever, but they're still arguing you could make it to heaven by keeping the law.
Mm-hmm.
No, nobody can keep the law.
It's no.
Impossible.
It is impossible.
Totally impossible. And that's why God put it there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So there are so many people, and even in the church today, I'm not sure I want to make this leap yet, but I'll go ahead, who think they are going to climb the ladder to heaven by keeping the law or by doing good works. We can't do good works and end up in heaven.
Right.
You know, our time on earth is limited. So the best thing to do is to obey God and believe in grace. Those are the basics of Christianity, but we've gotten away from that a lot of times in Christianity and said, you know, this person's a big shot over here, they're on TV, you know, or they're involved in some project like they're some kind of Mother Teresa or something. And God may not be that impressed with that person.
That's true.
He may have said, that isn't what I told them to do. You know, I told you to go build, go preach in Cairo, Egypt, and you went out and built a homeless shelter. That's not what I said to do, you know. So we have to be obedient, but yet walk in grace too. And, you know, if God's going to show us that much grace and understanding and forgiveness, then that's what we should show to others too.
Yes.
You know.
I agree.
Show love and understanding and grace. And nobody's perfect. We all make mistakes, you know, get mad at somebody.
True.
And all that. But we try to walk in grace as best we can, you know. So you see what happened to David, how significant that is, really. I don't think we think about it that much, about what, how David passed up a perfect opportunity to get rid of Saul so he could be king of Israel. But that isn't what God wanted.
No, he did not want that.
Right, exactly. What do you think?
About grace or what?
Okay, about David's decision.
Oh, okay, David's decision. I thought it was the right decision because Saul was anointed by God. And we do have to be careful when it comes to what we say about God's anointed, how we treat God's anointed, you know, because we also know that what goes around comes around. It comes right back to you. You know,
yeah.
So you have to be, you have to leave people to God. You have to trust God that he says, vengeance is mine and I will repay.
Yeah, let him do it.
And not only that, he said, give me room to repay. So that means you stay out of it.
Yeah.
I got it. You know,
yeah.
So David was a wise man also. You know, so, and it also gives us an example of how we should treat God's anointed people. Whether they're in the church or out the church. They've been anointed by the Lord. We also know that gifts come without repentance.
That's right.
You know, your gift he gives you, he doesn't take it away. You still have that.
Right,
you know?
He might, if you need surgery, you might end up being, come under the knife from a Mormon or something like that, or somebody that's just, you know, not of the faith, you know, just an atheist, but still they're very, very good surgeon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you may end up there. And so we have to have respect for that. You have to have respect for that.
Right. Boy. We've had a lot of traffic in here this morning, praise God.
Yeah, how dare you? We have our next guest speaker in here.
Yes, we do.
She got here a little early, but
that's
okay.
Yeah, yes, she did.
It's better than late.
Yeah, I mean, you can sit there if you would like. He's going to stay to hear you. So
yeah.
If you want
to sit there, and listen to you.
You're welcome to, or you can stay where you are. We're just talking about grace, the grace of God, and
I think Christmas time's a good time to talk about grace, too.
I don't think
a lot of Christians really comprehend grace.
No. I think people struggle with it. Why isn't there something that I can do?
Yeah, you know.
To make my way to heaven. Why can't I have to do something? I just can't sit here and think that if I just believe it's okay, or that's just not working for me. I have to do something.
Yeah.
Right?
But we got to do what God wants us to do. Otherwise, it doesn't really count for anything.
Like you said, we go out there and do things God didn't tell us to do. But we're out there in our works.
Yeah.
You know, well, let me go over here and take these people.
Oh, I actually read a story about it. There's a really good book out called Experiencing God.
Yeah.
And it gave me better insights into grace. And that is where I got that idea, where this guy, he was sitting out. He had this big, beautiful house. He was an engineer, and he made good money. And he said he was sitting out in his backyard one day reading the newspaper, and the Lord said, I want you to go to Egypt, go to Cairo, and preach the gospel. And he said, well, I'm awfully comfortable right now. Maybe I'll just do that later. That's, you know, I don't know if he actually said that directly to God or whatever, you know. And this, you know. This, you know how God will remind you if he tells you to do something. He'll come back and say, didn't I say that, did I ask you to to do this thing over here? And you go, oh, yeah. And it was like quite a while. He tries to cut you some slack.
Yeah,
you know, that's what he does. But if God tells you to go preach the gospel in Egypt and you go over here and build a homeless shelter, you know, that's a good thing, but that's not what God asks you to do.
That is a good
And that is an important point these days, because people just don't, they don't want to do what God says to do.
Why is that?
We're stubborn.
Why do we always want to have
it
our way?
We are stubborn in our hearts because we want to do what we want to do. You know, it seems logical. And it's the same thing with David. David probably with all his heart wanted to kill Saul in that cave.
Probably so.
Probably wanted to, you know. They were used to killing back then, you know, just take out the sword and just whack somebody's head off, no problem.
And
he was
a warrior. David was a warrior. He had blood on his hands, you know.
Big
he didn't
time.
He didn't back down to anyone.
Big time.
But when it came to God's anointed, he backed up, you know. He respected God and he respected God's man. Even after he waited, 30 years to be king? I think he did. Yeah. Like a long time.
Yeah.
After he was told he was going to be king. So I see where you're coming from now. Okay. When God said he was going to bring a woman in your life, it wasn't that fast.
She no, and you know, I've fast. Gotten used to God taking forever to do things, you know. He does. And not always.
No, not always.
Most of the time, though, it takes a long time for him to do stuff. He arranges things.
Yes, he does.
You know, sometimes I say, well, why don't you just wait till it's like a week before I meet her? Tell me then. You know, but he stretches our faith.
Ask him for a sign.
Well, I think what he does is, you know, he's like maybe when he told this guy he wanted him to go to Egypt. And that was a true story.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Eventually, even though he was an engineer, he made tons of money. And everything, had a nice, comfortable life. He had a house out in the country with a pool and all that, but all kinds of kids and grandkids and everything. And he sold that house, got rid of everything, and went to Egypt. He said it was the best time of his life and started preaching the gospel.
I believe that. I do.
Best thing he ever did.
Right. Right.
You know, but if you stay in obedience to God.
Yes.
You know, because when we have talk about grace, we have to talk about obedience. If you stay obedient to God, you could still go through some really bad times. Really horrible.
He just promised he'd be with us through it, right? He'd take us through it. He didn't say the trials would not come. Think about Job, what he went through.
Because I know this guy at church. I don't know if I probably wouldn't mention his name, but he's a former Satanist. And he said he had a guy show up at work where he's at, and this guy is one of these people that think they know everything, and they're gonna. And he's been working there for so many years, and this guy just got there, and he's going to be telling you how to do your job, you know. Mm-hmm. That is really irritating. I hate it when something like that happens. And I said, you know, but if you lose your temper at somebody, you know, if God's trying, what he's doing is he's stretching your faith.
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying, trying to toughen you up for times in the future. And if you blow it, well, that's okay. It just pushes the reset button, and you go around in a big circle, and you come back to the same place again. You know, you end up being
because you failed the test, right?
Yeah.
So it's going to come back.
I remember one time I went to this dentist, and I didn't have any insurance for it or something. But anyway, as soon as I came in the door, this woman started yelling at me. I never even seen her before in my life, you know.
Jeff.
Boy, you talk about tempted to go off on somebody, you know. And she just went on and on, so I finally just left. But I used to really have a horrible temper. I never would have let her get away with that back in the old days. But I've learned that I don't want to go back through the reset button, what God puts you back through, because it can be really thick and heavy.
Yes, it can be.
You know. Next thing you know, you get pulled over by the police, you know. Friend, you're only going like maybe 1 mile an hour over the speed limit.
right.
Man, don't you just hate that?
Yeah. I don't like it at all, that's for sure. Last ticket I got was $162.50.
Oh!
What?
Where was this at?
In Georgia. School zone.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I was just coasting going downhill. My foot wasn't even on the pedal.
Did you tell him that?
Yeah. It didn't matter.
Didn't do any good.
No. Not there, it didn't.
Well, I found out it's best to be nice to officers when they pull you over. That way they might cut you some slack.
I was nice.
Yeah, I was too. he was, at least he was gracious. He wasn't nasty or anything.
No, he graciously gave me that $162 ticket and 50 cents.
That's quite a steep.
It was.
Fine there.
Well, I think it was like 40 miles an hour and a 25.
Probably all of us had a speeding ticket at some time or other. But, Linda, what happens when we fall hard?
Like?
Get involved in some adultery or Satan talks us into some nasty thing. We do, steal some money from somebody or something. Tell a big lie. And we fall hard into a big bad sin. Can we trust God to forgive us?
Well, hey, he forgave me. He forgave me, and I'm no,
saint.
Rockets, no
saint. I thought I saw a halo when I came in.
That doesn't mean you always walk the straight and narrow. Just like you was quoting the scripture, Matthew 5:30. Even if you think it in your heart, you have committed that sin.
Yeah.
Whether you've done it or not, you can. You can lust after money. You can lust after people. You can actually see yourself with a person.
Become addicted.
Like porn.
Yeah.
They haven't actually been with those women. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They're.
But you have a visual addiction.
Yes. But in their hearts, they've done that thing. Okay. But like you said, grace is God's unmerited favor. Because he knows and understands that we are but dirt.
You know what? I think I don't have a hard time believing that God forgives me for a big bad sin. A hard fall on my nose and stuff. But I have a hard time forgiving myself.
That's the hardest part.
That is the most difficult because you just get up in the morning and go, and how you forget stuff and then all of a sudden that thing comes back. In the morning while you're eating your cornflakes or whatever, you go, oh, yeah.
It's like, why did I do that? I know better.
I got to live with it.
Right.
But God's not condemning you. He's sitting up in heaven going, what are you condemning yourself for?
Right.
I forgot it.
Right.
It's wiped off.
Right.
Of the map. Now, I'm not handing nobody a ticket to sin.
No.
Shall I sin that grace may abound? God forbid,
God forbid. Right.
Where sin does abound, there is grace also much more abound. But
right.
Paul said, that which I don't want to do is what I do, and that which I do want to do, I don't do. In other words, you forgot to buy your mother-in-law a nice gift for her birthday or something, And I meant to do that, but I forgot. Oh, well. But it might be a big deal in your family,
Right. We're not perfect. We're not going to be perfect, That's why God sent Jesus to die for us,
That's right.
And he covered all of our sins, Not just one sin, but all of our sins till we leave this earth. They've already been put under the blood. We just have to be people of repentance and godly sorry that we did those things, And if we, I think that we take
David.
Yeah, look at David.
And God says David was a man after God's own heart.
Yes,
and look at the stuff he did.
But he repented.
Yeah, that's true, he did.
He was godly sorry. He understood that he sinned against God and him alone. No matter who else he may have hurt. Look at Uriah. He killed him, took his wife, but he said, against you, Lord, and you only have I sinned.
Murdered a guy.
Yeah.
And we can get forgiveness for murder?
Yes. The only sin you can't get.
Child molesting?
Yes, if you... Right.
So we can be
godly
forgiven
repent.
For all sins, no matter how serious they are.
Except for unbelief.
Yeah, well.
That's the one sends you to hell, unbelief.
And that's the one that sends most of the world to hell.
Right.
So they won't believe anything. They won't
listen. They didn't
to
believe
anything.
In the one God sent. They didn't believe in grace, what you're talking about today. They didn't believe in that.
It's too easy.
Right, too easy. They think it's too easy.
I had a... My... Mother's daughter, my mother's sister's daughter. What does that make her? My cousin?
Mother's sister's daughter.
Well,
first cousin.
You know, she was going through a period where she was searching in the Bible. I went to visit her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I said, I had just retired from the buses, and I had a little extra money, and so she was in Florida. I'd never been to Florida, so I went to visit her, got on a plane, and went there. And I was explaining grace to her at one sometime or other. They were having a little Bible discussion group, and the group didn't understand grace either.
Right.
You know, and I said, you could be forgiven for all, Jesus said, all sins and blasphemies will be forgiven man. You know, and they said, oh, no, no, you can't be forgiven for murder and stuff like that, you know, the worst sins. And I said, if you can't be forgiven for murder, then how could you be forgiven for lying or cheating, stealing?
Right.
How could you be forgiven for anything?
Moses.
Yeah.
Moses was a murderer.
Yeah, he killed a man.
He was forgiven.
Know. Yeah. So, I really think that Christianity is just falling into a dark pit these days. Thinking, mixing grace with law, and you know, the veil was rent. You know, the purple veil when Jesus died on the cross, and when that curtain was ripped apart, it shows a difference. There is a difference. There is a gap between law and grace.
Oh yes.
You know.
Oh yes.
And a lot of times, you know, they'll mix certain passages. They'll mix certain passages with grace.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't think we should be doing that.
Well, there's a lot of things we shouldn't be doing, that's for sure.
You know, now I know there's a lot. There's a gray area in there because it does say faith without works is dead.
Mm-hmm.
But that, then again, that's what I'm saying. You know, is that you have to mix grace with obedience.
That's true.
You know,
that's true.
But even if you've been walking, like, you know, you've just been attending church and keeping the pew warm, never really done anything, just taking in oxygen, taking up space.
Mm-hmm.
You can still make it to heaven because of grace.
True.
You know.
True.
So, yeah, maybe you're great. Maybe your faith is kind of dead and lukewarm and whatever, but you still can scoot into heaven because of his death on the cross. Doesn't require works. You know.
Like the Bible, like the Lord says, the righteous will barely, scarcely make it in. Where
yeah.
does a sinner lie? You know, and we're getting in by the skin of our teeth, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's not
funny. We should remember that verse, too.
Annette, you started something.
Boy, Satan don't like me talking about grace today, does he?
Well, you're talking about it. I think you've done a great job, and God
well, thank
has
you.
And God has met you here with that, you know, to let people know that grace still abounds. There's nothing that we can do that he will not forgive us for.
That's right.
Nothing, you know.
And that was his. That was Jesus' big disagreement with the scribes and Pharisees.
And that one scripture. What can separate me from the love of God? Can danger or, you know, peril or whatever I'm going
through, whatever.
Yeah. Distress and all that.
No,
persecution. None of that can separate us from the love of God.
I was just thinking about that this morning. Some people in these third world countries are being tortured and imprisoned for their faith in God. I said, you know, I know he gives us the grace we need when we go through stuff, but oh wow. I know I'm really grateful that I'm not there right now. I'd rather not face that kind of persecution if I could help it. But we may have to one of these days.
Right, that's true. That's so true. We are in God's hands.
That's
I
right.
wouldn't want to be in anyone else's hands or have
that's
to depend
right.
on anyone for anything but God, you
and
know.
And that song, These Are the Days of Elijah,
mm-hmm.
and There's No God Like Jehovah.
Right, right.
I love that.
No God like Jehovah, yes.
There's no is. God like Jehovah. Well, why? Because he was willing to leave his throne where he reigned, came down here into this crappy world, allowed evil men to drive rusty nails through his hands and feet in order that we might be able to be where he is. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
That's the kind of God we
serve. Divinity. Like you say, leave his holy habitation.
Yes.
Where everything was perfect and pure.
Yep.
No sin. And came into a body.
You know, we can't sit there and say, well, you never experienced all these horrible things that we have to go through down here. But he did.
Yes, he did. How else could he say or empathize with us, except he had experienced what we go through.
You're That's listening right. to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP, Marion, Ohio, the place for the holiday season. For legendary